place.
Is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge,
your hometown voice.
And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
This is Jeff Smith, the Rogue announcer, and this is Rogue Talk for September 15th, 2017. And I got to tell you, this is a great day. I'm just having the best day, and I've got a great show for you today. My feature interview will be from the Rogue River Junior Senior High School. Stephanie Sturm is here to talk about the Gear Up program, and we'll learn what that is and what it's all about. And so we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. And I've got an exciting announcement I want to make, but I'm going to save it for the end of the show. So for those of you that know me and you want to hear that announcement, you're going to have to hold on to the end of the show. For those of you that don't know me and you don't care, well, you can do what you want then. But I've got a big announcement at the end of the show. And so let's get to some of the business of the day before we get to our featured interview. Some results from Chieftain Sports. The Chieftain volleyball team last Thursday beat Bandon three sets to two. And then last night, unfortunately, they couldn't continue the winning ways. They lost in a 3-0 contest to Cascade Christian High School. So that was it for the volleyball. Moving over to boys soccer. Last Saturday, the boys soccer team headed up to Canyonville Christian for a league contest and finished with a 2-2 tie. And then they were home again on Monday, taking on the Coquille Myrtle Point combination team. And also happens to be, I believe that's one of the co-ed teams, but I could be mistaken. I know at least one of these games was with one of the co-ed teams. But both of the next two games were with combination teams, and they beat the Coquille Myrtle Point team in front of their home fans 2-0. And actually, that was not the co-ed. The Pacific Bandon game we're going to talk about next was a co-ed. But they won 2-0 on Monday, and then Wednesday they headed to Pacific High School to take on the Pacific and Bandon combined team, and that is a co-ed team. In fact, I believe their goaltender is one of the girls on that team. And the Chieftains were down 4-0 at halftime and came back to win. Final score 6-4. So six unanswered goals in the second half for the Chieftains gave the Chieftain boys the win on Wednesday. And moving over to girls soccer, girls were also hosting Coquille Myrtle Point on Monday, and unfortunately they weren't as successful as the boys. They lost 10-3. And finally, a game you heard right here on 94.3 The Bridge. The football team was victorious in their first attempt at eight-man football for this season. They beat Slitz Valley, final score 40-6, and that was an exciting game. And if you were listening here on the bridge, we'd like to make a minor apology for the sound quality of that game. It may not have been as good as it normally is for the bridge. Unfortunately, in Slitz, they only have AT&T service, and we generally send our signal over a data transfer over the Verizon network, and we have a way to use the AT&T signal, but unfortunately it's sent as a voice over a phone line instead of sent as a data package. And so the quality's not quite as good, but we were sure happy to bring you that game. And one thing I kind of learned going on that trip is you forget how necessary it is to be connected in today's world. And my personal phone is also Verizon, and to not have service when I needed to book a hotel room was an interesting challenge, but we got that taken care of. In fact, I got to stay over in Lincoln City that night, and really neat town and a beautiful drive heading back out of Lincoln City and heading back home and getting to drive along the coast a little bit there. And I'd love to get back there and spend some more time there, but it was a fun trip. And the Chieftains are now 2-0. They've won an 11-man game, and now they've won an 8-man game, and they'll return to action tonight in a game that just was added to the schedule this past week. And we'll talk about that at the end of the show. So that's all we've got for you in Chieftain sports. I don't have any significant news to report other than it's been nice to have the smoke out of here for a while, although today you can smell it again out there, so it's starting to drift back in from some of the fires that are nearby. But it's been nice to have about a week of, we got some rain, we got the smoke cleared out for a while. Hopefully it's not going to come in as heavy as it was, but you definitely could smell it this morning that it's trying to fight its way back in. But anyhow, that's about the only news going on that I had on my ledger here for the Rogue River area. So I'm not going to waste any more time on this first segment. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be talking to Stephanie Sturm from the Rogue River Junior Senior High School. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
When you went car shopping, you meant business. You ace vehicle history searches and test drives. You out-salesman to the salesman. Now you've got your wheels. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. With 401k tips and smart saving strategies, you'll have the info you need to get more for your future. Go to aceyourretirement.org, because when it comes to speeding past financial challenges, you're an ace. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Where the rooster crows, 94.3 The Bridge.
With Esser in Sports, I'm Patrick Foss. The Cleveland Indians extended their winning streak to 20 games and matched the American League mark held by the 2002 Oakland Athletics, beating the Detroit Tigers 2-0 Tuesday night. Corey Kluber, now 16-4, strengthened his Cy Young Award case with a four-hitter. Closing in on their second consecutive American League Central title, the 1935 Chicago Cubs with 21 wins in a row and the 1916 New York Giants with 26 are the only teams ahead of the Indians. Boston clobbered Oakland 11-1. Red Sox right fielder Mookie Betts, who hit two home runs and drove in six runs, now has 21 home runs in the season. It is the first Red Sox player ever to hit 20 homers and steal 20 bases in back-to-back years.
I mean, anytime you can get a milestone like that, I think it's you should always be appreciative, and I am. I think it just shows the type of player that I can be and the player that I strive to be.
Tampa Bay beat New York 2-1. The wild card leading Yankees fall four games behind East Front Runner Boston. This is Esser in Sports. Yuli Gurriel's RBI single in the second inning held up as West leader Houston blanked Los Angeles 1-0. Minnesota clobbered San Diego 16-0, so the Twins, holding down the second wild card spot, lead the Angels by two games. Seattle beat Texas 10-3. It was Kansas City 4-3 over Chicago. Toronto 3, Baltimore 2. In the National League, the LA Dodgers snapped their 11-game losing streak, 5-3 over San Francisco, as Clayton Kershaw won his 17th game. Carlos Gonzalez homered twice in Colorado's 4-2 win over Arizona. The Rockies 3 games behind the wild card leading Diamondbacks. It was Chicago 8, New York 3. The Central leading Cubs 2 games up on St. Louis and 2.5 in front of Milwaukee. The Cardinals beat Cincinnati 13-4, while the Brewers down Pittsburgh 5-2. Cardinals shortstop Paul DeJong with 3 hits, including a home run, says they're starting to play their best down the stretch.
We're just starting to realize how close we really are and that we're not really out of it. We got a lot of games against Central opponents.
Cards have won 4 in a row and 8 of 10. Atlanta beat Washington 8-0. It was Philadelphia 9-8 over Miami in 15 innings. With Esser in Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
What are all the things you witness online in a day? Cats playing piano, selfies on your feed, your friend's picture being turned into a nasty meme that's been shared 50 times, 51, 52. When someone's being bullied online, it's hard to know what to do. Now you can speak up with the witness emoji. It looks like an eye in a speech bubble, and it's in the symbol section near the clocks in your phone. You'll let the world know it isn't cool, and you'll let your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk, and joining me in the studio from the Rogue River Junior Senior High School, Stephanie Sturm. Stephanie, welcome to Rogue Talk.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, I'm happy to have you here. And of course, I've had your husband here. He's the local State Farm agent.
And that's right.
We brought him in for Snowpocalypse 2017. So we brought you here for a completely different reason. You are involved in the Gear Up program at the high school, and part of the reason I've become aware of this program, of course, my daughter Katarina is now working with you in the Gear Up program, but I didn't know too much about it. I'd seen some of the posts on Facebook in the last year or so, but I really didn't know too much about it. So that's why you're here. So I guess for starters, tell us in general what the Gear Up program is.
Okay. The Gear Up program is a federal grant program, and its purpose is to assist rural high schools that perhaps, because of their size, don't have the level of funding that some of the bigger schools have, to create a college and career culture within the school. And schools that apply, only 1 in 5 schools that actually apply for the grant get it. So we're very fortunate to have that grant. It's a 7-year grant cycle. So in year one, you're focusing on your seventh graders. And then you follow those seventh graders all the way through until they're in college, each year picking up the next level of seventh graders. So right now, we're headed into year four. So our cohort group, our group that we're focusing on, is the seventh graders through the 10th graders. So that's really the bare bones basics of Gear Up.
Okay. And so I guess the first question I would have about a program like this, is this specifically a path to college program, or is this more a path to a career program?
That's a great question. What we've discovered, not only through the data, but through just conversations with our students, is not everyone is going to college, and not everyone should go to college. So our focus is really equally balanced between a college pathway and or a career pathway. I have a lot of students who say to me, this program's not for me because I'm not going to college. And the immediate response they get from anyone in the program is, everybody needs a plan. A plan for when they will finish school and what comes next. And so I really feel like every student, every family can benefit from Gear Up.
Yeah, and I was particularly interested in that aspect of it, because when I was in school, for various reasons, I had no intention of going to college right out of high school. And part of it was probably some trepidation of how it was going to be paid for. I'd never really had the discussion with my parents about it or anything like that. And I was at a 3-year high school, and I met with my counselor the start of my sophomore year. And we made my schedule, and I made it fairly clear that I really didn't see myself going to college right out of high school. Not really because I wasn't. I took all of the academic courses, and I did fairly well in most of them. So it wasn't that I wasn't qualified to go to college. I just didn't see myself going to college. I never saw my counselor another time the rest of my high school career, and I think a lot of that was because it was a large school. There were more than one counselor, but they were focused on college and the kids that are going to college. And the fact that I made it known I wasn't really interested in going at that point, I was not a priority anymore. And I don't blame the individual for that. I blame the system. And so when I see a system like this or a program like this, I thought, this is what I needed when I was in school. And my path may have been quite a bit different had I had some more input like this.
I think you're telling a tale that is just so commonly told by those of us in our generation, but also even our students, our recent graduates, that the message they were hearing was college, college, college. And if you're not part of that message, then you're sort of the disenfranchised group. And what I enjoy about what I do is starting with the young students, starting with seventh graders, who, by the way, statistically, a seventh grader and their family, they are more likely to sort of be evenly split between, yeah, my kid can go to college. They're not in that situation where they're already saying, college is out of reach, it's too expensive, I'll never get there. So that's the reason we start with them. Because they're in a position then where their mind is more open to possibility. And so if you start having a conversation with them at the seventh grade level and say, let's just talk about what interests you. What do you like? What do you see out there in the world that you would really like to do? And start having discussions surrounding that. That's when it becomes a conversation about your future, not just about college. And so by the time they get into high school, the hope is that they will then have more of a focused plan. They will be, everything they're doing each day is towards that plan. Because lots of students not only decide to go to college and end up not going, but also students that don't plan to go and suddenly their senior year say, boy, I'd really like to go to college. And we have to make all of that normalized. We have to say to them, we are here to support your future and try to make it as successful as it can be.
Yeah, and I love that. I think it's the right approach, and why it's taken this long to find that kind of a system is I don't really understand. And maybe at times, you know, everything's kind of cyclical, I guess. And you know, you mentioned our generation, and I'm happy to hear that I'm not happy, but I am happy that other people share that experience that I had, that it wasn't just me feeling left out, that it really was the system leaving, you know, a lot of people out. So what kinds of activities does the Gear Up program plan or do you have the kids participate in to help them along this journey?
So it's a plan-driven system, which means that each year, usually in the spring, we start thinking about what we're going to do for the next school year. The idea with Gear Up is to pay for programs and or assist paying for programs that we can then as a district sustain. Because once the Gear Up money goes away, we don't want that system or that program to go away. And we've certainly had some trials of programs where we've decided, you know, that's not a good fit for us. But for the most part, what we do is we start at the seventh grade level and we really focus on the social and emotional issues. And specifically, what we're doing is we're trying to build in our students what's called a growth mindset. Growth mindset means not a fixed mindset. It means you recognize that you, throughout your life, have the ability to grow your brain, to try for new things, to retrain yourself to do things differently. And it's sort of a hot term in education, but what we're really trying to get across to the kids is where you are right now is not where you have to stay. You can do things better, stronger, faster, but it's all about growing your brain and retraining it to do things differently. And that really translates into social success for them, emotional success at that early age. So we do a lot of fun things in the seventh and eighth grade level. We do some college visitations. We go and see usually RCC and SOU for the seventh and eighth graders. And when they go, it's really about just the beginning stages of explaining college. Then as they move up into the ninth grade, we do career fairs. We take them to an annual career fair in Medford called Careers in Gear. We take them on more focused college field trips that are more based on what they want, where they want to go. And we start looking at sort of personal responsibility, financial responsibility. How can I, as a ninth grader, start learning the skills I need to be successful. And then as they transition into the 10th and 11th and 12th grades, we're focused more on the specifics of their plan. Okay, where do you want to go to school? Or where would you like to go to trade school? Or what business do you know you would like to be involved in out of high school? And we start helping them come up with things like writing a resume, learning how to interview, learning how to put together a sort of a portfolio that reflects this is who I am. We have brought in some outside community resources with Gear Up funding, things like Resolve, which is our restorative practices program. And that has to do with taking a situation in the high school, a conflict, and resolving it where all parties have a say. And I think Jamie Wright may have talked about that a bit on your show.
Yeah.
Right.
I think when we talked one of the times, she's
right.
been in a couple of times, and we did talk about that.
So Gear Up, I guess the point I'm getting to is that Gear Up's funding isn't just about bringing college programs into the high school. It's about transforming a culture. And what we learned really early in our days with Gear Up is that's supposed to be the focus, is taking the culture of our high school and saying, we want to travel to the next level. We want our kids to walk out of here feeling more equipped, have more tools in their tool belt to be successful in life.
Yeah, that's a good point as far as going through the steps. You know, you said what you do with the 7th and 8th graders is a little different than what you do with the 9th and then moving into 10th. And I think one of the things that comes to mind for me would be is for the kids that are going to go to college, that do want to go to college, they need to be preparing that early because let's say you're trying to get into med school. If you're one of those super smart kids, and we've had some of those kids. In fact, one of the kids that graduated with Katarina is on that path and is doing very well. But you need to know that going into your freshman year, all of those grades count. And if
exactly.
you're in a super competitive field, you can't let your guard down as far as grades go. And where some kids may be motivated by their participation in sports, you know, I got to get good grades because I want to play sports. Other kids that want to do something that is a real competitive field need to know, hey, this is the track I need to be on, or I'm not going to get in. I won't get into that school, or I won't get into that nursing program, or whatever it may be. So, you know, yeah, I see this Gear Up program as a valuable tool in that respect to keep people, you know, on the right track, whatever the track may be.
I agree with you completely. And the other issue that we have is not only do we want our kids to, for instance, go to college, we want them to stay in college. And this is a phenomenon that we're seeing where kids will graduate, they might go their freshman year, but they might not stay. And so we're really trying to look at the why of that. And for our kids that are not college bound, we have many of them who for that first year out of high school really founder. They don't know what to do next. And so they end up potentially in a cycle that's kind of a cycle of despair for them where they're just living paycheck to paycheck if they're getting a paycheck. So what we're trying to say to them is let's give you some options. Start making those plans now. Don't wait until graduation. Throw your cap in the air and then say, I don't know what I'm doing next. Senior year is very stressful for kids, much more so than it was when I was a senior. They have a lot more they have to do to graduate in terms of projects and assignments and things that are being pulled from the outside. A lot of our kids not only are first generation potentially going to college, many of them are first generation graduating from high school. So this is a new thing for their family. And so what we find is you start to see that sort of deer in headlights look about February where the kids start realizing, oh my goodness, there's not much time left and I've still got this, 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 and this to do. So what we're really trying to do now is take them as sophomores and juniors and prepare them for that time. Say to them, don't wait till the last minute. Let's talk about time management. Let's talk about things you could do now that make your senior year less frustrating and more exhilarating.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, do you see, and this is your fourth year with this program?
Yeah, we're entering year four of the plan. I've been at the high school for 5 years. I have another job at the high school in addition to Gear Up. Most of us wear multiple hats at the high school.
Yeah, that's Katarina's been finding that out quickly.
Yes, she does it very well, though.
Yeah, well, she likes to get in there and get things done. I know that about her. So if she has a mission in mind, she's fairly unstoppable. But we won't talk about what it is when she doesn't have a mission.
Well, I think most of us are that way.
Yeah, I think we are. So going into the fourth year, so you've had some kids in the program for 3 years now. Do you see a sense of empowerment that maybe wouldn't have been there for the kids, that they feel like they have some say over their future, or they have some, I don't know, that they're involved in the process and aren't just kind of going along with what the adults say? And the reason I ask that is I think of the movie Rudy, the one friend of his on the football team that never gets to play and that kind of at times tries to drag down his dream. And they had a discussion where he tells him that, my dad played here and so-and-so played here and I was just expected to go to Notre Dame. And it was really, it's not a big part of the movie, but to me, it was a huge awakening thing for me, because this kid was a legacy, and it wasn't his legacy, it was his family legacy, and he was lost there. And I know that feeling, and not from anything that my family did or anything like that, I don't mean it that way, but he had no purpose for being there. Now a lot of people would say, that Rudy was wasting his time because he had no career in football, but he had a dream, he fulfilled that dream, and now he works as a motivational speaker, he has a movie about his thing, so I don't really think his time was wasted. But going back to this other student, I think he felt like he had to do what was expected of him, and I don't think that's a healthy way to have a kid go through school and through college and move toward his career. So do you feel like these kids are starting to get some empowerment from this program?
Well, you probably notice I'm nodding vigorously. I think you have hit the nail on the head. And that scenario, that phenomenon, works both ways. A kid will rise or fall to the expectations of the people in their life. So if you're a person who, I remember working with a student not too long ago whose parents had basically said to him, you are going to college, not do you want to go to college, you're going. And this student really didn't have the passion for high school. He had other ideas. And I think trying to sit down with those parents and have that discussion and help them to understand that in order for a student to be successful, they have to own that dream. They have to own that plan. Gear Up is all about starting small, starting early, and having that conversation not just with the students, but with their support network, whether it's siblings or parents or grandparents or foster parents or whomever it happens to be, and to help everybody be on the same page. And I think when we do that, it stops being about what's expected of them, and it starts being about what they expect from themselves. And that's what I see with our kids. They're starting to say, I know my parents want me to go to college. I'm not sure if that's the right path for me, but let's have a conversation about it. And if that's what we accomplish with Gear Up, we've done our job. It's all about looking at not only the whole student, but looking at the whole family. And we have a lot of families that, for whatever reason, college is a really scary conversation. And for financial reasons, for, I'm out of my depth, I didn't go to college, I don't know how to advise you. And so what we're really trying to do, in addition to providing programs for the student, we're trying to bring the parents in as well, or the family in, and say, let us help you. Let us help you have this conversation with no agenda. It can't be the agenda of every conversation, your kid's going to college. What it should be is, if your student wants to go to college, if that's important to them, we will do everything we can to help them realize that dream.
Yeah, and to me, that's the perfect, the perfect approach. And I think of programs that are out there now that like MicroWorks, where they're trying to give kids more opportunities in the trades, because a lot of kids, that's where their passion is. Their passion isn't in something that they're going to learn at a 4-year college. Their passion may be in, to be an electrician or to, to be the one building the building, not the one designing the building. So I think of programs like that help in that respect. And I think it's a good thing, because we need to have a balance. Not everyone's cut out for college. I think I could go back now and really enjoy being in college because of my passion to learn things.
Yeah, I always say a college education is wasted on the young, because by the time you get to be our age, there are things you know you would benefit from if you went back. And I think that hindsight thing has been going on for generations. I love that we are starting to focus on things like apprenticeships and trade schools. And, we've got an amazing diesel engine program at RCC. And one of the things I love about our current administration, particularly our principal and our vice principal, is they're looking for those kinds of opportunities for our kids. Because you're absolutely right. It is as essential for us to fill trades as it is for us to fill the court system with new attorneys, and the medical field with new doctors and nurses, and the education field with teachers and engineers, and all the things you can do when you go to college. But all those other things are essential for us as a nation.
Well, they are, and I think they get overlooked at times because the push for so many years that, you had to have college to get ahead. College graduates make more money than, that's sort of a misleading figure when they bring that figure out, because electricians and landscapers and other, and many other trades, welders and other, they can actually make really, really good money if they apply themselves and put themselves into the right positions, which is no different than someone with a college degree. I mean, we watch kids come out of college year after year with their degree in psychology or women's studies. Nothing wrong with studying those things, but they don't really translate into a career, unless they're paired with something else.
Right.
And another thing I see that I think this is probably helping with too is setting proper expectations. I think a lot of these kids, they think they'll get that degree and they come out and the jobs will be waiting for them, and they'll be, but the reality of it is even the jobs that you may be more qualified for with that college degree, you still start at the bottom and you still work your way up. The ceiling may be higher in some cases because you have that degree, but the floor is at the same spot. Mm-hmm. And I think a program like this can help give that reality to these kids to really understand, that it's not just handed to you. They don't hand you that piece of paper and then hand you that dream job. You still have to work for it.
Jeff, as I was listening to you, I was struck with something that is a personal goal for me this year, and it's helping students understand the why of what they do. We had a motivational speaker come to in-service and work with the kids and work with us. And she said, we start asking why from the minute we can talk. If you've ever had a 2-year-old around, it's why? And I think that we need to remember that for a student to own, whether it's their education, their social group, their career, whatever it happens to be, they have to have a clear vision of the why in their head. And I feel like it's our responsibility, as we are educators, as we work within the Gear Up parameters, is to help the kids ask themselves that question. Why is this important to me? Why isn't this important to me? Why do I want to graduate from high school? What's the why? And help them explore that. Because if they know why they're going to college, they will be successful. if they really have a clear understanding of the why and they embrace it, regardless of where they go with their education, they will be successful. It's the same with students that graduate from high school. I remember sitting in on a senior presentation a few years ago and a student who was going to go into business with his father and his grandfather, and he had a very clear vision of why he was doing it. He could articulate it, he had a plan, and I know that student has gone on to be successful. He is successful in his own eyes. He is successful in the eyes of his family and the people he cares about. It isn't about the money. It's about understanding the why.
Yeah, and you touch on something important there, that the definition of success gets changed by so many different people. And to me, in a program like this, success is pairing what makes you tick with what you're capable of. And you know, again, I'd go back to the Rudy thing. He wasn't going to be a professional football player. He really shouldn't have been a college football player, but he turned it into something that he's passionate about and something that makes him tick. And that's an important thing. Is I mean, I look at what I'm doing here. I so enjoy doing this radio show. I love doing the games here on the bridge, the high school games. Had I been able to pair my passion for that with what abilities I had back when I was in high school, my career may have been completely different. And I have no regrets. Mm-hmm. I'm where I am because of the choices I made. And I have, you know, I have a family and everything that I mean, everything in my life, I'm happy and proud of. So I wouldn't change anything, mm-hmm. but I would like to give kids that opportunity to take their career more seriously, no matter what that career may be. And I see this program doing that. I wanted to go back to something that you had mentioned about, you know, you have a lot of kids with parents that probably never went to college, in some cases didn't graduate from high school. And so the idea of going to college can be a little intimidating. And you had mentioned that. I look at Katarina, for instance. She was very motivated to go to school, and so she took care of it. She found out what she needed to know. She went on all the college trips, and she got it done. And I remember a conversation I had with her when probably she was in middle school, and I told her one time, and it was probably halfway in jest, but I was serious in a way about it. I said, you know, and I already knew at that point she was, you know, doing pretty well in school, and she was pretty interested in her schoolwork, and something I didn't see in myself all the time. And I said, nobody's going to loan me money for my retirement, but people will loan you money for education. I don't want you to go into debt to go to school, but I want you to know that I'm not going to be able to help you a lot. Mm-hmm. She doesn't remember that conversation, but I think she does. Mm-hmm. I think because she took it to heart. She got, I mean, she was a Miss Rogue River. Mm-hmm. Anyone that knows Katarina knows she's not a pageant girl. That's not her thing. She's not a girly girl. Mm-hmm. She's, you know, she's a hard worker. She loves to read. She's just, that wasn't her, but it was. One, it was a way to grow. It was a way to try things that she were out of her comfort zone. But it was also a way to get some funding for college. And she did a great job of putting herself through school with very little debt. So what kinds of conversations are you having with these families and with these kids to let them know that you don't have to come out of school with $60,000-$70,000 right. of debt, but you can still go to school and it's still possible, but you have to take the right steps
right.
from the time, you know, maybe you're in ninth grade to 12th grade to, you know, to make it easier.
Right. And Jeff, I think this is the core of it for most families. And you don't have to be a family that doesn't make much money to have this problem. just speaking for Dean and I, we have a son at college right now. He's graduating from SOU this year, and we're really proud of that. But he's had to take on some debt. You know, most people don't have the financial wherewithal to write a check to pay for college. When I was fortunate, my dad paid for college for all of us. But if you look at inflation and rising cost of goods, it doesn't translate. College is expensive. And I don't lie to families. When they talk to me and they say, okay, how much does college really cost? We sit down with them and we show them the real numbers. And so then it has to be a conversation with the student, with the family, where we talk about the importance of completing FAFSA and that FAFSA doesn't have to be a scary thing. FAFSA is the, I'm going to get this wrong, the free application for financial student assistance. And it's an application that you fill out with the federal government where they look at the income coming into the house, and they come up with a figure that they say is the expected family contribution for college. Well, we always laugh at that because
yes, so do
it's
we.
A figure that most families can't contribute. So what we say to our students and our families, students have to have a plan not only for what they want to do, but how they're going to get there. And that means things like applying for scholarships. And we emphasize scholarship application very heavily at Rogue River, not only local scholarships, but national scholarships. We have package scholarships where they can fill out one application and it goes to lots of them at one time. We talk about savings plans. We talk with parents about planning now. There are loans available for college, and it's not always a bad idea to take out a student loan. Sometimes it's necessary, but really understanding them. We have at least two financial aid nights every year, and parents from 7th grade through 12th are invited to come. And we bring in a financial aid advisor from SOU who's really well-versed. She talks about the FAFSA. She talks about student loans, how they work, parent loans, how they work. No one situation is exact. No two situations are exactly the same with any student. But my counsel to families is we will walk this process with you. When you have questions or concerns, if we don't have the answer, we're going to help you find the answer.
Yeah, and that's what has to happen. The I'll go back to my story. I had no idea what it was, and I mean, had I shown more of an interest in going to college, I'm sure the counselor would have worked with me and helped me with those things. But again, just the fear of what's it about, what do I need to do, and the fear of taking the SATs and mm-hmm. and all of those things. And so, you know, this program to me just, it fills so many holes.
Yeah. We have a college and career center now at the high school, and that's thanks to Gear Up. And within that center, Katarina, your daughter, works there. We also have a woman by the name of Debbie Acosta, who's in charge of our college and career education area. We were funded with Measure 98 money and able to hire Debbie, and she's there to assist students and families in making the transition. It's a resource center, and the word I really want to get out to the families within our community is that resource center is there for them. It's for families, it's for students, it's for students that have recently graduated. If you need help in figuring out the nuts and bolts and the ins and outs of a higher education or getting into a career path, that's why we are there.
Yeah, and that's what a great resource to have. And I like that you mentioned kids that have recently graduated,
yes,
too, because you're still there for them to,
yeah,
to, you know, you don't hand them the paper and say, you're on your own, kid.
Well, and we ask them when they graduate, would you come back? Would you talk to next year's seniors? And we've done that. We've brought in grads and on alumnites and had them talk to our students and parents. And it's always a powerful resource.
Yeah, definitely so. And it makes me think of something else. You know, every year we have the sweet rewards where they mm-hmm. give out all of the, they give out all the awards, sports awards,
local
scholarships and other scholarships that the kids have earned. And I it just occurred to me that that should be something that should be, there should be a room off to the side with all of the middle school or junior high students watching the Sweet Rewards.
And that's a great idea.
And their parents sitting with them going, see, you could get that scholarship. That you could earn that.
Yeah.
You know, because it is, it's a cool thing. And it, and you see the kids that have really gone over and above, because, you know, there's always a handful of the kids that they're, you just hear their name over and over and over.
Right.
And what an example to the younger kids to say, look, this stuff is there.
Well,
and so your resource center is giving them a way to see what Sweet Rewards would show them.
And those are the kids that have worked that process into the fabric of their everyday life. I had a student that came into the college center every Friday for an hour, and all we did was fill out scholarships. He just made that part of his routine. And as a result, he obtained a lot of scholarship money. The more you apply for, the more you will, or the odds go up that you're going to receive more.
Yeah, he may be a student of Dave Ramsey if he was doing that.
Exactly.
I know that's one of the strategies Dave Ramsey mentions is, you know, there's the scholarships are there, but you have to apply for them and apply for many.
And it's shocking. It's shocking to me how much scholarship money gets left on the table every year, not just federally, but even our local scholarships.
Well,
we might only get one or two applicants.
I know with the Miss Rogue River pageant, it doesn't happen a lot, but there are girls that have won money and it gets rolled back into the fund because they never claim it.
Right.
And in some cases, they actually went to a school or did something that would have qualified them to claim that money and still didn't claim it.
Right. And that's why our job doesn't stop when they graduate, because I have students that are already coming back to me from last year and saying, okay, I won this scholarship. I don't know how to get it into my account at the college I'm going to. And kids, when they run up against that barrier, sometimes they just walk away. And we need to be sensitive to that, because it's just like we said, it's a more complicated system than it was when we were all going to school. We need to make it less complicated, less frightening, and really empower families. And so the conversation I have with juniors in particular is, start making your list now of the scholarships you're going to apply for, so that as soon as that opens in the fall, you're ready to go. And we talk about standardizing your essay, you know, so that you've got an essay you can use for pretty much any application or any scholarship. It's important. And it helps demystify the process, and it helps make college more affordable with less debt at the end.
Yeah, and that's wonderful. And we're gonna run out of time for this interview, and I could talk about this all day long. I think you've picked up on the fact that when it comes to the kids in the community, that's where I get really passionate about it. And when I had Pastor Charlie Grenade in here, it was the same kind of thing. It was like, I could talk about this all day long, because this is kind of what makes me tick. I usually, my connection is usually through the sports, but it's not exclusive to that. And it's not just because I like sports, but it's because I know that, well, I mean, I know kids personally that I've dealt with through my coaching and through other involvement with the sports, that they may not have even finished high school if it wasn't for sports. But there's also other things, you know, the music, whether it's music program or FFA, getting these kids involved in those programs that are going to help them along the path that you're helping lay out for them with
the
Gear Up program.
And I think Gear Up needs to work in tandem with those programs. We need to really be saying, if your passion is sports, how can we help assist you be successful and use that to become successful when you're finished with high school? If your passion is drama, if your passion, whatever it happens to be, but it's really about having a plan, having an organized plan, so that you know what's coming for the next step.
Yeah, and I've seen it over and over with some of these kids. You know, if your passion was sports, but you're not going to be a professional athlete, but you may go into physical therapy or sports medicine of some sort, you know, or if your passion is music, or I mean, let's take, you know, my thing for here. I don't pretend to be an expert at being behind the microphone. I'm still learning whatever, but you know, if your passion was music, let's say, or it was radio, something like this, you know, you may not want to be the person on the microphone. You may want to be the one that's sliding the knobs and mm-hmm. or sliding the levers and pushing the knobs or turning the knobs. And see, I'm not even good at the at the lingo for my own job here. But it again, I think it goes back to that pairing the students' abilities with their passions.
Right.
And because a career, if you're not passionate about a career, it's not really a career, it's a job.
Well, I show kids a video in ninth grade when they're doing their career segment in Mr. Otis's class, and it talks about don't follow your dream, which they immediately think, what are you talking about? But this young man says, you know, what your passion is at 13 is going to be different than what your passion is at 21. But what is important is that whatever you're doing, it needs to make a difference. If what you're doing makes a difference to you, to the people around you, if you really feel like you are making a difference in the world, you could do that job forever. If it's a job that's just a job, you've got to figure out a way to make it be something that makes a difference. And to do that, that's all about your passion. That's all about dreaming big and then figuring out how to make it happen.
Yeah. And I mean, I can't add anything to that. I think that's perfect. So, well, I want to, we are definitely out of time, but I want to thank you for coming in today, Stephanie. And
thank you.
I hope that we can lend you any support with that program that we can. I think it's a great thing. And I know we had tried to even get a class, a radio class set up, and it never really got off the ground, and maybe in the future we'll get something like that going, because Pastor Gigline here at the station, he kind of shares that same kind of vision of giving these kids more outlets to really find what makes them tick and make them, help them be successful. So thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
And don't go too hard on my daughter, but keep her headed in the right direction.
Will do.
So we will take a break here and be back with more Rogue Talk. Don't go away. Well, little computer problem there. I thought I had it all set up to end the show here, and it's trying to run me out of time. I'm trying to fix the computer while I talk to you, but my big announcement that I left at the beginning of the show, and we're going to see if I can skip this here. It's going to try and take me to the app.